worship the name above all names, Lord God, that you are strengthening us, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, together with that, you are restoring, Lord God, and you are bringing healing, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, that you are the King above all kings, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, that you rule and reign, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord God, at revelation, Lord God, that you aren't hanging on a cross anymore, but that you are alive, Lord God, and that you are ruling, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, that you are building your church, Lord God, and that you are building stone upon stone this morning, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that we can see what you are doing, Lord God. Open our eyes and our hearts, that we can just be part, Lord God, and vessels in your hand, Lord God, instruments, Lord God, about what you are doing over this world, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, that we will have a song in our hearts, Lord God, today, this afternoon, tonight, Lord God, and every day of this week, Lord God. And Lord, as we are going to pray and fast this week, Lord, I really trust you, Lord God, that you'll bind our heart together, Lord God, that we will just move into unity, that you will show us clearly about your heart for us, Lord God, for Windhoek, for what you are doing, Lord God. Thank you that we can have expectation this morning, Lord God, because you are faithful, Lord God. And many times when we fail or miss the mark or don't get things right, Lord God, that you are still our Father, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord God, over this next 3 days, Lord God, that you'll do something amazing in our hearts, Lord God. That we can just testify about your goodness, Lord God. And yes, Lord, just glorify your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's good to see you. There's one or two faces that we are seeing for the first time this year. Nice to have you back. Auntie Doris, traveling from South Africa, coming to visit, to be back here in Windhoek. So, this past week, I think we can all, most of you probably know by now, Frederik en Theo Ann, hulle babiekie is gebore hierdie week. Annabeth, hoop ek spreek het reg uit. So it's always nice when there's new life. And go and, if you haven't, maybe send them an SMS or give Frederik or Theo Ann a call. And go and bless them with a meal or whatever is on your heart. But we just want to congratulate them, even if they aren't here this morning. It's always excited to celebrate when a new baby is born. Then, just an announcement also, the 15th of February, that Sunday, Pastor Andres van der Merwe, some of you will know him. He's the pastor of one of those nice places called Hermanus. I wonder what it must be like to be a pastor in a holiday town. I think it must be nice. So Pastor Andres, he will come and visit us. He will preach here. And then also something where I just want to, I think it was in the weekly this week, the past week as well, just to make a note. As from this year onwards, it will be over a two-year period, but we will have equipping with our leaders from our apostolic team, our senior pastors. We know there's a big need to raise leaders. So many times over the past years, I know that there was a place where a church or a fellowship or a group of people together and God is doing something, and then we are, in a sense, just waiting for that pastor to raise his hand. So we're going to do equipping, and the first we're going to have on 27 and 28 of February this year for the Namibia region. That means we and Swakopmund together. It will probably be Lizzie still getting a venue for us or helping us there. The 27th and 28th of February, please see if you can keep that Friday night and the Saturday open. We will, together with Swakopmund, the church there, we'll probably meet somewhere halfway, like Omaruru, or we'll let you know about the venue. But if possible, keep it open. We would really love you guys to be there. Just keep your eye on the weekly. There will be more information. And Pastor Hercules Opperman, many of you know him, and Pastor Jankor Brink, and also Nadine Adami, she was here twice last year. They will do the first round, and that's called the leader's purpose. How do you fit in? So there will be different angles of equipping, and it will be really awesome if you guys can make the time and come and join us there. As I said, just keep your eye on the weekly. There will be more information to follow. Then also this week, I know Reinald loves it to fast, so because there's always a revelation coming with the fasting, there's a reward in that. But this year,
as normal, we will have a global show for global prayer and fast from Monday to Wednesday. This week, we will come together every evening at 7:30 at Klein Plaasie. That's, we had a few meetings there. If you don't know where it is, please contact Liesl, our secretary. Find out. Just get the address. We really want to invite you guys to come and join us there. I've cancelled the Tuesday morning at 6 o'clock intercession because I really want us to, if possible, even if you can come only one of the evenings, to come and join us for the prayer and fast. If we see it as just something, just another thing on the calendar, then it will be just another thing on the calendar. But it's a place, and I'm going to say a few things else, and I'm going to come back to the prayer and fast. But I believe it's really for us important, specifically this year, to come together, to pray together, to worship together, to fast together. If you are pregnant, JP or one of you guys, you don't know, and you can't fast for whatever reason, you know, make a plan. See what you can fast from. Maybe leave the chocolates. Maybe leave the coffee. Ask God what you can fast from. It's important to fast, but you will know what your circumstances are. But please come and join us. I don't want it to be just a mechanical thing. I think last year we came together at Paul and Saskia's house, and it was really a blessing. And the Wednesday night we will break the fast together with communion. So that's usually a highlight, you know. It's also a time where you can go and eat a spur burger or whatever you want to. But I'm going to come back to the prayer and fast just now. It's basically where we pray for our global vision and to consecrate the rest of the year to the Lord. So if that sounds like mechanical thing stuff that we just do because everyone else is doing it, then we're going to miss it. But I believe that we need to prepare hearts. As I said, even if you can come just one of the evenings, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, please make the effort and come and pray together. I believe it's so important for us to do that. Then I'm just going to, I think, you know, different people will always be remembered for different things. And, you know, I love politics, economy, sociology, a few of those things. And I love reading. And one website I really want to recommend is, it's called In Context Ministries. And it's really nice if you've got a bit of spare time to go and just read there and research and just to see perspective and stuff in context. What's happening in the Middle East? What is happening in the Islam world? What is happening around us? What's happening with the finances, the persecuted church? Most of the time, we don't know even about the Christians killed here or there, even whether it's 5 or 10 or 20. And I believe it's just helping to keep our hearts in contact with the world around us. You all know we're not persecuted in Namibia as Christians. Not really. We don't have really real persecution here. But there's really people in this world that go through tough times standing up for Christ. And they will, I once heard, I have to remember his name, it will come back. Frontline Ministries, who's the senior pastor there? Frontline Ministries from South Africa. Anyway, I can't remember now. His name will come back to me just now. But they do a lot of mission work in really difficult places like Sudan, where there's fighting and stuff. Sorry? No. Peter Hammond, thank you, Esther, for being wake up. Peter Hammond, you know, and he's got a book written specifically on Christians in Sudan. And it might sound controversial, but, you know, there's a lot of pictures. And I remember at the one place, you know, there's one of this American guys coming over and asking the Sudanese pastor, so why do you have AK-47s? And then the reply is because our church gets attacked every second week. Now, I'm not going to go into the theory or whatever that is about. That's not the point. The fact is, that stuff we don't know. That stuff we don't understand. So it just helps us to be a bit in line with what's happening in other places of the world. So In Context Ministries, go and Google it and just read a little bit. Now, they said at the start of this year, I just want to read you a quote on that. 2014 will go down as one of the most violent years in history, as month by month, global events unfolded in dramatic and traumatic ways. Now, in many ways, we've been spared that, but if we go from Ebola to the attacks in France and guys arrested in Belgium, you know, it's just interesting to see what's happening all around us. And there's another, I don't know if you have heard about the Bulletin of Atomic Sciences. It's a guys, it's a European-based group and group of scientists, and they basically, since 1947, they have kept record, and they call it the doomsday clock. And that's basically where they estimate how close are we to destroying ourselves. So it's like if you give a five-year-old child a gun or a something dangerous, there's a good time the clock will say 2 minutes before 12, because a five-year-old will either shoot himself or his brother or something like that. Now, I just want to read a quote from them. It was on CNN this week. And they basically estimate the world is closer to doomsday. Now, that is not the in the spooky side, the end of the world type of scenario. It's basically if they look at climate change, if they look at basically nuclear weapons, those type of things. They said that's the message from the Bulletin of Atomic Sciences, which moved its iconic doomsday clock up 2 minutes on Thursday. The clock now stands at 3 minutes to midnight, the latest it's been since 1984, when the Cold War between the U.S. and the Soviet Union was a major issue. So it's just interesting to see what many different people are experiencing. We know war is nothing new. We know famine is nothing new. But at right now, after, you know, 1990, who of you were old enough to saw this on television the Berlin Wall fall? Guys, you saw it. Reinhold saw it. Many of us didn't see it. But, you know, then there was a time of a little bit more peace in the global world. But at this stage, it seems that things are getting a little bit hotter right now. So what I'm not going to tell you today is that the whole thing about there's a big bad world out there with economic depression and this and that, and you must try and be a better Christian, and you should evangelize more. That's not what I'm going to tell you. I've got something else that I want to share with you, but I'm going somewhere. There's an old quote that I totally agree with, and it says, all that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And that's so true. But we aren't just good men. We're Christians. We don't have just like good values, and that makes us good persons. The other day, I watched a police video of two policemen to arrest a guy in the UK. And, you know, they were interviewing afterwards, and the scenario doesn't really matter, but the one policeman was basically knocked unconscious, so the other one was fighting with the criminal until, you know, refreshments or help was on its way. And then in the interview, you know, the guy just said something that resonated in my heart. He said, you know, what was really strange is there was a lot of people just standing watching, taking photos with their cell phones. No one was actually helping him here. He's the good guy. You know, he's the police officer. And so many times today, we hear of people attacked or this or that. And most people, the seemingly good people, just take a step back and say, well, I'm not going to get involved. It's a bit dangerous. It's maybe a job for someone else. And it's a place where society has really come to today, where we just want to take hands off all the almost messy things in life and hope someone else will do that. Now, as I said, we're definitely not just good men. Some of you will know Pastor Richard Wade in South Africa. He's also, I think, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, he ministered here. He's part of the Shofar band. And during the December holiday, he connected me with one of his friends. He's a pilot. And this guy is really going through a tough time. His marriage is basically on the rocks. They've got a two-year-old daughter. And basically, his wife and her parents just want to end this marriage. And Richard, sitting in South Africa, asked me, the guy's here in Windhoek for a while, can we meet up and speak to him? So we were supposed to meet tonight, but it couldn't realize for one or two reasons. But the long story short, you know, I was talking to this man, and I really saw he's fighting with everything he has to try and save his family, try and save his marriage, you know. And it's so important that we as Christians, not as good men, but as Christians, can give this world hope. Because if you come to a place and you see there's no hope, then you feel like giving over. But I spoke to this man. I said to him, listen, God understands that you are the head of this house. God understands, no matter what your father-in-law, your mother-in-law is telling you, God understands that if you pray as the husband and the father, if you pray for this family, God will understand that prayer. Okay? And we need to pray. I believe in a God of miracles. things doesn't look good in the natural, but I believe it can turn around. And we had like a half an hour conversation, and I just felt like, you know, when early in the week he said to me, okay, well, can we meet maybe Sunday night? And I, you know, something in my flesh wanted to say, but shoo, you know, every night we're fasting this week, we're going to, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're going to meet. Thursday, I'm going to have a meeting. Then Sunday, it's a meeting, and that means almost every night. But there's something inside my heart, and that is, you know, I think Yaku spoke about that God moment last week, where I just felt like I'm not just a good guy trying to help someone here. I'm a Christian. And there's something in my heart that can just, like the Holy Spirit, can just understand this man's pain, this man's fight. And, you know, if I turn my back on him, he can maybe phone one of you, can phone another pastor in town. There's a lot of people that I guess might be able to help. But you see, you already has the pastor that married them, doesn't want to get involved, really. You know, and then he tells me about some of the advice people have given him. Yo, and it's really sad. So, guys, we've got such a mandate to be the hope and the light for this broken world. We aren't just a lot of good men trying to make a better world here. We've got a message of hope and reconciliation, of salvation. So I just want to go back now to the global prayer and fast, and I'm going to ask maybe Henny or someone there at the back if you can put off the lights. There's a video that all the churches are going to look. It's just a two-minute video. So I just want us to look at that quickly, and then I'm going to continue with the sermon. That's just a short clip. But I think what makes it significant is, you know, sometimes if you feel we are one or two fighting a fight, then, you know, then it's maybe not that nice. But if you know there's a few thousand brothers and sisters praying for the same time, at the same time, fasting at the same time, coming together at night, and really trusting God for something. So, you know, on the church calendar many times, I guess we can have a look and think like, okay, I like that. I'll go to the men's camp or to Awaken, but this isn't really for me on that. The point I want to make is just like, I really want to encourage us to make something out of this year. Not to just to hope someone else, the guys that always pray, will come together. As we pray, you know, there's that old quote that says, a family that pray together, stay together. And I really want to encourage us to make an effort where possible to come for one of those nights. And to, you know, if you hear something secondhand that has happened or, you know, I guess it's a little bit less significant than when you are there and when you're part of something. So please, guys, let's pray with the rest of the Shofar movement and put out our faith. Let's have an expectation that as we come, as we fast together, as we pray together, that God will really do stuff in our hearts. You know, if you are studying the book of the Acts of the Apostles and you see how the message has spread around the world at that stage, or parts of the world rather, And yet 2,000 years later, we still have the gospel. We still see people's lives touched. That's so encouraging to know that it has never died. I don't care what the atomic sciences guy says about doomsday or what this or that guy say. It's not the scientists that figure that there will be an end of the world. It's scripture that says so. It's God who said, you will make a new heaven and a new earth, you know, and he will come and wipe away our tears. So I want to, there's something, you know, as this clock is ticking, let me just get the point I want to make here. So our focus is not the tough times or how difficult things might become. It's about our mandate. And we can only be true to that if there's a flame and a passion in our hearts, like on Pentecost. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive power. So if we just go through the motions with some of these things and there's not something real in our hearts, there's not something on fire, you know, then it will be just like an academic exercise, and we can tell each other we are praying and fasting and maybe something will happen or maybe it don't. But something else I want to share with you, on Thursday afternoon, I was sitting there working on my sermon, and I was just like playing with a few thoughts, actually writing it down or typing on my computer, and then I just had this picture in my spirit, you know, and it's just about this, like a dormant seed, you know. It's I guess most of us, it's now the end of January, really, really, really are looking forward to a bit of cooler weather and rain. I mean, amen. I guess we are all looking. I've said to a few people, I've told a few people that yes, through the holiday we were here in Windhoek, and usually the first thing they say, oh, it was really hot, hey? Or you hear it was really hot, and it really didn't rain. So we are waiting. We've got an expectation in our hearts that it will rain soon, that you can go to bed at night, and it won't be like 30 degrees still, and you can hear the rain, and you can see there's a runoff to a river, and you know Windhoek will have water, and those type of things. But, you know, in nature, seeds are already there, just waiting for the right temperature, waiting for water to come. That won't happen in August. It's now the time for that seed to start growing when it gets the water. It's just waiting. And I just feel the picture I saw was just of like, I think in our church right now, many of us are like a dormant seed. You know, we are there just waiting for the right climate, the right temperature and water for that thing to start growing again. It's there, but it's not completely alive. And I believe that God just wants to make that seed come alive again. And it's something that I believe God wants corporately in our hearts to do. And I just have expectation in my heart. That's why I'm saying so much about coming, praying and fasting together. It's a place of coming into unity, something that I believe is really so important for us right now. Now, just that thing about good people. I think you can just be a good person and you can help that police officer or you can help your next door neighbor. But you see, I just had a thought on that seeds. I've planted tomatoes and I know some of them are modified. So some of the seeds, some of the tomatoes have the shape that looks more like a red or a green pepper. It's actually quite funny. You know, it doesn't have that total round tomato look. I'm not talking about the small cherry tomatoes, the bigger ones. It actually looks like a green or a red or a yellow pepper. That shape with the, almost with the, I don't know how you put it, yes, you know what it looks like. So they are genetically manipulated. God, or we as humans, we changed it. Your tomato look now like a little bit of a red or a yellow pepper. But you know, we are all humans. We're alive. We're living. And also, when we come to salvation, God is changing our genetics. You can be a good person in that sense. But when you are born again, you become a spiritful Christian. And that makes a huge difference. I want to read you a quote here. It's so amazing always. And that's the golden line or the golden thread running right through history where God chose men and women to work for his cause, to write books, to preach the word, to lead worship teams, and to make a difference. And one of those awesome men was A.W. Tozer, writing in 1948. And I just want to quote here from him. And it's just, once again, that thing about the difference between good people and Christians. In the midst of all this great chill, there are some, I rejoice to acknowledge, who will not be content with shallow logic. They will admit the face of the argument. They will admit the force of the argument. And they will turn away with tears to hunt some lonely place and pray, O God, show me thy glory. They want to taste, to touch with their hearts, to see with their inner eyes the wonder that is God. And this morning when I wrote that thing again, Saskia, one of the worship team, you can help me with the words, that song called Beautiful, where we say, I think it goes like, you can see his face in every sunrise. And in what A.W. Tozer is talking about here is that place where you want to, as he says, go and hunt for a place where you can be alone and you can worship God, read a word, pray, and just see something about his glory. That's something, you know, reserved for us in many ways. Something that will change our lives. If we see God's hand, if we see God's glory, as I believe, I trust that you felt that we can sense it this morning as we worship, okay? That thing where we just feel God is lifting something here in your heart. God is lifting our inner man, our spirit man right now. He goes on and he says, I want deliberately to encourage this mighty longing after God. The lack of it has brought us to our present low estate. Now that is in 1948. I wonder what he will say right now. The stiff and wooden quality about our religious lives is a result of our lack of holy desire. Complacency is a deadly foe of all spiritual growth. And that's that thing where we say, I'm too busy, I'm too this, I'm too that. Or we've got other things in our hearts, you know, that is more important. Things that's actually on the throne. And I think that is one of this great enemies of the times where we live in, where we have relatively a lot of prosperity. We're living in a country which is really stable. Things are really going well. But you see, the enemy for me and you right now, and I hope you're awake right now, because it's one of those cliches that we say in church over and over. But is God really first in your life? Or is he second or third, and you just read twice a week, maybe a bit of scripture, and this or that. So, it's not about looking at this big bad world. Thanks for helping me. Looking at that big bad world, and then I want to encourage you, be a better Christian, evangelize. It's going to be the end of the world soon, so let's take a few Christians with us. No, if we are spiritual Christians, it makes a difference in terms of the way we live. We don't have to wait for the end of the world. We don't have to be scared for that. That's something that's completely, completely in God's hand. We don't have to, if you go and read the book of Revelation, Matthew 24, those chapters, you can get very afraid, but you can do very little about it. In fact, you can do nothing about it because it's in God's hand. The only thing me and you as Christians can do is to have an influence around in this place where God has placed me and you right now. So I love the words here of A.W. Tozer, just to a place of falling on your face in a sense and saying, God, show me your glory. Whether it's in jail, whether it's on holiday, whether it's in your office, whether it's in church, it doesn't matter. It's an attitude of the heart. Asking God, who you've got a relationship for, God, show me something. So, Pastor Yaku spoke last week at the leaders' meeting. He spoke about King David, and when things really looked bad, he said, you know, David went and he strengthened himself in the Lord. Now, that's almost the place where I want to send you home and say, let's every one of us go and do some homework about what does it mean to strengthen you in the Word, in God. I guess you all know the answer, okay? It's not about plugging in somewhere. My wife is a very funny person sometimes, and we will sit on table, and then she will put her finger in Gustav's ear and say, Gustav, I want to charge right now. And then Gustav, being like me, just give a funny laugh, and his mom and everyone think it's very, very funny, you know. So you can't really charge in that sense with a cable to God, but you can praise and worship. You can put on a song. You can read scripture. If you don't get excited, and I've written it down here, if you don't get excited about spending time with God, about praying, then maybe we should pray for you this morning. And I'm not meaning it sarcastic or something. Okay, I'm meaning it in a real way. Because then the danger is that you slide into becoming just a good person. Nice guy that doesn't break the rules of society or something, versus being a spiritual Christian. Last year was a tough year. I trust by now many of you have written or read the December newsletter that Pastor Fred wrote to us as a movement. And he said it was really tough on our relationships. For me personally, for various reasons, it was really tough. And I'll be honest, I really felt like just walking away many times, giving up. Just like, God, what are we fighting for here? What is happening here? But praise God, we stayed at home this holiday, and I just made a commitment in my heart to go and charge with God, to spend time with Him, to heal hearts, to restore. And that is the goodness of God, that I can say I'm excited about a new season, about something that God is doing in our hearts. I think if I look back at school, I remember in the science class, we did some of these tests, you know, and whether the outcome of a certain combination of elements, it was, you can determine the pH and those type of things. Some of you might remember it. Maybe you hated it. Maybe you enjoyed it. But it did give an indication of that thing that's right in front of you right now. And it might sound like not deep theology or something, but I believe it's so important that we just check where our heart is. When we talk to each other, we can pick up, we can sense where our heart is. Now, it's sometimes easy to say the right things, to do the right things, and as they say, to make the right noises. And it might look if things are okay. But when we are honest, certain things might be troubling us. There might be challenges. I think I was listening, I know Pastor Cass Becker and their church, On this weekend they will have for pastors and spiritual leaders, they will have a guy that will be talking like a conference about apostolic, what's happening apostolically in the world right now. Now there's so many signs. If you can get hold of last week's Time magazine, there's a very interesting article, and the article says a change of heart inside the evangelical war over gay marriages. And go and read that thing. I don't want to talk about marriages or gay marriages or whatever type of marriages. But the one thing that really, I read it and it's just like a flashing red light, is that thing where they say, you know, we need to reconsider our hearts, our attitudes towards things like gay marriages. Now, the thing is, it's not about our hearts and attitudes. It's what God says in His Word. And that will stand forever. It's not about loving people, yes, for sure. But about in terms of what Scripture says, we use that as the foundation. And I was reading that article, and there was a lot of statistics about the church in America and certain movements and what they, especially the younger people, response is towards that. Phew, and it's really alarming to see what people are okay with these days. That's stuff that's happening around us, and that's why I want to encourage you, go and read stuff like Context Ministries, that we can see what is happening around us, what is the world doing right now. Sometimes I think we're really living in such a nice bubble here in Namibia. We have things so nice in many ways. So God will come and test our hearts. You know, he will allow us, like the men in the Old Testament, like Abraham and Moses, and specifically Jonah. We see how Jesus was tested, Paul, trials and tribulations, and we won't be spared of those things. That will be in front of our door. And I think last year was the year that there was a lot of really challenging things for us as a church and for us as a movement. And I think one of the important things is that we are still here, that we are still fighting a good fight. And like yesterday afternoon, when I, after about 30 minutes, said goodbye to that gentleman, I just knew I have some faith in my heart to pray and believe for his marriage. that God will turn it around, that God will hear his praise, and that he's got something to fight for, because God understands a covenant. It's something God will come back for. And that's also something about our church specifically. God knows we are here. It's something we can fight for. It's something that we need to fight for. So I just want to encourage us. I read a scripture this week. It's from Matthew 4, verse 4. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that's that thing. I'll be honest. There were times in my life that I've read scripture, and when I'm finished, I was like, okay, what did I read right now? That means my heart and my mind wasn't there. It was doing something else. And that's obviously the wrong attitude. And then there's times where you read scripture and you feel that God's word is actually feeding you. It's changing your heart. It's making you believe that you want to phone someone and say, I'm sorry about this. Or you want to go to someone and say, listen, I'm praying for you. I know you're leaving the country soon, but I'm praying for your marriage. We're trusting God here to make a change. And friends, for us for this year, we're not just a bunch of good people. We're believers. We came to salvation. God renewed us. He made us new. Like that tomato. It does look a little bit like a tomato, but God modified that thing. It looks more like a green pepper now. It's probably to make it stronger. And go and read the word again. Go and study it if you haven't recently. There must be a type of an outflow. There must be something in our hearts that says, you know what? I want to, not because Carl or whoever is saying so, because there's a video clip, but I actually want to go and pray as well. I want to fast. You know, whether it's even just a day or two or half a day, I don't know where your faith is at right now. If you can do it for 3 days, awesome. Do it, okay? But put your faith out. Have an expectation that God is going to do something. If we are all just like, okay, well, God, I guess someone else will go and pray, and hopefully in a bigger church in Stellenbosch or wherever, there will be more people who's praying. Yes, they will be praying. But this is a place for every one of us to pray. I'm going to ask the worship team, Saskia and you guys, to come to the front. And I want it to start right now. I don't want anyone to pray from a place where you feel that you need to pray. There's an obligation for you to pray. I want they're going to worship, and I'm going to stand here in front. And as I said, I believe it's so important that we can say to each other, we've got an expectation in our hearts for this year, for God, for what God will be doing. Okay? The Israelites walked for a very, very long time in the desert. And I believe when they had that thing about the promised land in their hearts, the moment when I speak to someone on the phone and I tell a person, no, I don't have, things really look bad regarding your marriage. Sorry, man, I can't speak to you any longer. Good luck. You know, then there's no hope anymore. But I believe there's so much hope. There's so much hope that we need to be for others. I never forget that day at last year's at the men's camp. It was one of those moments of the year where you can write something down. When Pastor Sias made that altar call, and that guy with the pulse in his broeksak came forward, and God did something special there. It's moments like that that can carry us really for a long time. But then you need to pitch up. You need to be there. You know, if you don't study the word, if you don't pray, you know, there's not going to be anything in your heart to be excited about. You can maybe live off someone else's excitement or word that is preached or maybe a song that is worshipped, but it will only last for a short while. So I believe it starts here for us, where you guys also pray, where we say, God, we believe. There's an expectation. You have given us hope. For 2,000 years, Jesus Christ, you have been changing people's lives. There's always, always hope. So we're going to worship, and if you feel God is really laying out in your heart, and you will, then you can come to the front and just pray for having hope, having expectation for whatever God is laying on your heart, for us as a church, for us as a movement, for the leaders of this movement, for this nation, for whatever it might be. I want to encourage you. Come and speak it. Come and say it. Okay. So let's all stand. The worship team is going to lead us. There's going to be one song. And after that, if you feel there's something on your heart, please come and pray that into life this morning, that we can corporately put out our faith and say, God, we know things are going to change. Amen.